Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us here this Sunday, March 30th, 2025. My voice still isn't with us, Ed. I'm still struggling.
Yeah.
I got a cold. It wasn't just allergies, but I'm doing a lot better.
I'm good.
And it's good to be here, be able to be on the air. We're grateful to Ray Powers for keeping us here on New Vision Radio each and every week. And even on the weeks that we can't be in the studio,
right,
he makes sure we get on the air, and we're really grateful for that. And it's springtime here in the United States, and it's the pollen is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a yellow film all over my vehicle. I have this duster, Ed, okay, that I use.
You're not talking about a Plymouth duster, right?
No, I remember the old duster. I think they've started making them again, but they look nothing like they did when I was young. But yeah, I use this, it's called a California car duster, and that thing just gets full of pollen. But it's a beautiful time of year, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's good to be alive, and I'm grateful for the beautiful flowers that God has made, and everything is blossoming. We have this this plant called forsythia.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've got some alongside my house.
Oh, yesterday I was driving along and I passed this hedge that somebody had in their yard. It must have been 40 feet long, and it was so bright and yellow. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Even in this sinful world, God makes it beautiful, doesn't he?
Yes.
So, Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, would you?
We're a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia. We've been around at our current location since 2015, 1743 West Beverly Street. We have just a few services during the week. We have a Wednesday night prayer time / Bible study time that's at 7 p.m. Eastern time, which is available via Zoom. And we have our worship services on the Sabbath, Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And we have a Bible study at 9:30, available via Zoom or live stream.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our worship hour at 11, available via live stream.
Yeah, that's every Sabbath morning. And if you happen to miss that service with the sermon, you can find the sermons archived on the website, prophecyhope.com. And if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they do that?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
Or you can email me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. General email, if you send it to office at prophecyhope.com, somebody will get it. And we typically try to respond. Most replies will come within 2 to 3 days because we don't get a chance to check that mailbox every day. Also, these programs that run on New Visions Radio each week are all archived on the website, prophecyhope.com. So you'll find hundreds of sermons, you'll find hundreds of these programs, and if you're looking for a particular topic, you can type that into the search bar. For example, if you were looking up communion, or maybe you were going to look up God's Spirit, or the sacrifice of Jesus, or you know, whatever the topic, you can just type it in, put it in quotes, and it'll come up right there. And if it's a topic that we haven't covered, send us an email, and we'll see if we can do a sermon or a radio program on that particular topic. Also, Ed, we have ordered some new Bibles.
Yes.
We've ordered cases of Bibles, so we'll have those in back in our inventory. We have only a couple left, and we always suggest that people have the Bible in their hand. Why is that so important?
So you can actually see for yourself what the Bible actually says, that we're not making this up.
Right.
We haven't gotten our biblical gymnastic team to twist and turn the scriptures to what we want it to say. We're just simply reading the words on the page, comparing section of scripture to section of scripture so we can get an understanding of what it's talking about.
Sure. So if you need or don't have a Bible and you'd like a copy of one, send us an email and we will make sure you get a personal copy that you can follow along as we read.
And what we did this time in terms of ordering Bibles is the Bibles that we had were pretty small print.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were looking for something larger. And so we found some. They're much more expensive.
Yeah.
But they're really nice.
Giant print. Yeah, yes. They have this nice large print. Uh-huh. And, you know, as we get older, yeah. Our sight kind of fades. And we realize that, you know, sometimes in the pew, we have Bibles in the pew, and the print is kind of small. Mm-hmm. Most people, when they come to church, they bring their glasses if they're mm-hmm. going to wear them. But, yeah, just contact us. We want to make sure that every person has a Bible. And, you know, the closer we get to the coming of Jesus, the more important it is that we know what the Bible says right. and what we believe.
And don't be afraid to write in your Bible.
Absolutely.
Write like text.
Yes.
Make a text train.
Yeah.
You're in one text, put the next text you want to go to, and when you get to that text, put the next text you want to go to.
I write in my Bible yeah. over in the margins, and I make notes, and yeah. and I have things... Look at, I have taped in the back of my Bible, right. I have certain scripture references and things. So, yeah, friends, if you need help studying, contact us. We'll try to help you if we can. And I think that's all the business we have yeah. for today. So, Ed, would you pray for us?
Sure. Father in heaven, we're again thankful to be able to take this time and to open your word, the Bible. Father, as we study these things, as we've been talking about being ready for the second coming of Christ, give us wisdom and knowledge. Give us understanding in our hearts and minds. And give us the power to overcome sin in our lives, to live our lives according to the way you want us to live it. Father, guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Ed, we left off last week. We were talking about these books and how everything that we think, everything that we say, this conversation that we're having right now.
Is recorded.
Yes.
Not only
not
on, the,
here.
on the computer here, but in heaven.
Yes. And so it's not just recorded here on earth. God has a way, and we don't know how. According to the Bible, there are books. Mm-hmm. But he has a way of recording everything that happens. There's a record. Everything goes on record.
And there's a reason for that. As we found out in Revelation 14, let me just go back there real quick.
Sure.
Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those dwelling on the earth, even to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. So the gospel is supposed to be to everyone who dwells on the earth, saying mm-hmm. with a great voice, some Bibles say with a loud voice, he wants everyone to hear, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus in Matthew 24 says, be ready.
Absolutely.
Be ready, because you don't know the time that I'm going to be coming back. Be ready.
Sure.
And so God is going to be looking at these books, these records, to see who is ready, who is living life according to his commandments, who is doing the things that the Bible says.
Now, some people might say, well, God can remember this stuff. He doesn't need these books, but it's not just for him, right? It's for the benefit of everyone who has access to these books.
Yeah, someone can say, well, why isn't Brother Ed there?
Right.
And you can open the book of his life, and you can see why he's not there.
Right. And
it's judging God's judgment, actually.
This is what's beautiful, Ed, about the God that we worship. You know, today, in this world that we live in, everything is hidden. There's an agenda to everything. People don't want things openly exposed.
Right.
And the God that we worship says, look, I'm willing to open up these books and let you see why I have judged the way I have, and let you see that my judgment is true.
Yes.
And so he allows us to put, basically, you know, this is the only way I know how to say it. He allows us to put him on trial to make sure that his judgment is pure.
Right.
What better way of dealing with things?
Transparency is what it's called.
Yes, it is. And it's a beautiful thing. If you do things openly and honestly, and then there's never a reason to have to hide anything. If you're telling the truth, nothing needs to be hidden. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, we have seen some of that take place today in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some things are coming out in the open and being exposed. God's truth will be openly exposed to where every person, every human being, every individual will have to make a choice.
You know, I've had several conversations lately with people that people like to bring up this question, well, if God is love, why does all this bad stuff happen in the world?
I hear that.
And no one will ask the question, do you love God?
That's a great question.
If you love God, the Bible says, if you love God, you keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome.
It's so true.
And so if people loved God, they would keep His commandments, and we would not have all this evil and all this bad stuff in the world. But people always want to blame God for all this stuff. He is just letting people have their free choice to live life according to what they desire.
It's and so true.
There's a point coming in history where God will say, okay, enough is enough. We're going to end this. And God's goal is to do away with sin and those that love sin.
You know, I'd never put it into that perspective, Ed. And I'm glad you mentioned that. It's true. Everybody blames God instead of looking at themselves and saying, what can I do?
Right.
Is there something that I can do to make things better? And there is. This is what it says in 2 John, the book of 2 John. I'm just going to start in verse 4. There's only one chapter in 2 John. So it's 2 John 1:4. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father.
All right.
It says, and now I plead with you as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that you have had the one that you have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. So really, we've talked about this in the past, and this is the whole, we read it in Ecclesiastes either last week or the week before, it's the whole duty of man to keep the commandments of God. Because if we love God, then we're going to keep His commandments. You just quoted that.
Right. You know, we talked about this last week, that God desires that all would come to repentance. We find that in 2 Peter, which you're going to be doing a sermon on here.
Yes, I'll be doing that pretty soon. Hopefully this Sabbath.
But that doesn't keep God from wanting to end sin in this world. God is a God not only of love, but a God of justice and of judgment. And He has delayed implementing this judgment for a long time, but there's a point coming where it will happen.
Sure. I think this came up in Sabbath school either last week or the week before, but that question was asked, you know, why do things drag out so long? Excuse me. And God has to allow things to occur so that sin never happens again.
God wants to show the results, or using a biblical term, the fruit of walking in the flesh versus walking in the spirit. There are consequences that are readily evident for not only everyone here in this world to understand and see, but to the heavenly host.
Absolutely. We have to remember that there's more at risk here than just humanity.
Right.
The universe is
God's government.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, we've talked about this in the past too. This planet that we live on, Earth, is quarantined. We're set apart from everyone else. The devil has been cast here. So it's isolated now, and this is where the problem is going to be settled, right here.
Right.
And this universal problem of sin has been, you know, it was throughout the universe evidently before. Now it's isolated to here.
Right.
And it started here. It will be finished here. And what's beautiful is what God has in store for all of us. Mm-hmm. The gift that he gave in his son is, it doesn't, I don't think that we think of the depth of that.
What more could he do?
There's nothing more.
Romans 5 tells us, while we were yet enemies, enemies to God, God sent his son to die for me while I was his enemy.
Yes.
What more can he do?
Nothing.
He has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, if we so desire, to help us live life according to his word.
It's so true. You know, we think of being enemies. I did a lecture on that because somebody had asked the question, when we are born, we're born into sin.
Yes.
We're at odds with God at that very moment, but God gave us the way to restore that relationship.
To be reconciled. We're reconciled by the death of his son, Jesus Christ, according to Romans 5, and we're saved by his life.
Amen.
The life that he wants to live within us.
And this is the gospel that we talk about so often,
yes.
Ed. It really is. And what shows that we're in Christ? This very thing we're talking about, being written in God's book, keeping his commandments.
By your fruit, you'll be known.
Absolutely.
That's what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount.
And even in Jesus' day, when he was walking on this earth, it wasn't a popular message.
No.
People didn't want to hear what he had to say.
No.
They still don't want to hear what he has to say.
You know, there's a verse, I just was reading this a day or two ago in John 7, I believe it's verse 48. And the religious leaders were speaking against Christ and his gospel. And can you read that for us,
John 7,
48? And they asked this question.
It says, it's very short. It says, have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him?
So they're trying to dissuade the people from believing in Christ and saying, look at all these preachers, all these priests, all these religious rulers. Have any of them believed in him? Mm-hmm. So why are you believing in him? Remember, if they believed in Christ, they would be kicked out of the synagogue.
Right. You know, this happens today in churches. If people profess the true Jesus Christ,
right. They
will be thrown out of their church a lot of times.
And the remaining church members are told not to have anything to do with them, not to study with them, not to talk to them.
But isn't this what Jesus promised us would happen?
Yes.
He even mentioned, you will be thrown out because of my name. Who would have thought that using because of the name of Jesus in a church, that you would be thrown out of the church because of professing that he truly is the Son of God.
Right. You know, there may be a time where you're standing alone and just sharing what God's word says.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't even have to be your words. You just read the words on the page to people. And they'll say these things, well, I've never heard a preacher say this. My church doesn't teach that.
Right.
Why should I believe what you're telling me?
Look, the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword,
yes.
Right? And it's very condemning if you just read the words on the page. And what Jesus was doing is he was quoting, when he was teaching, he wasn't speaking his own words.
Yeah.
He wasn't speaking just what, this is just me. He was speaking his Father's words,
right.
which are recorded for us in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it shows the importance of having these things recorded, doesn't it?
Right.
Having records of it. And the Bible is a record of all of these things. We can refer to it, and we can look back, and we can say, look, this is what our Lord said. This is both in the Old and New Testaments.
The reason we're talking about these things, about being ready, is that Christ is going to come again.
He is.
And when he comes, he's going to know who are his and who are not, because this judgment will have occurred. Are you ready? Is your name going to be written in the book? Was the title of our program mm-hmm. last week. And if you're not ready, do you want to be ready? Do you want to make changes in your life that can occur through the power of a living Christ? Because the Bible tells us exactly what's going to happen when Let's go to Nahum, this little book of Nahum.
Okay.
One of what we call a minor prophet, which is a number of minor prophets between the book of Daniel and the book of Matthew in the New Testament.
Yes, a tiny, tiny little book.
And let's go to chapter 1, and I want to read verses 2 through 9. This is pretty much the whole chapter. Nahum chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. This is the modern King James. And it says, verse 2, God is jealous, and Jehovah revenges. Jehovah revenges and is a possessor of wrath. God takes vengeance against his foes, and he keeps wrath against his enemies. Jehovah is slow to anger and great in power, and he does not by any means acquit the guilty. Did you hear that?
Yeah, he doesn't acquit the guilty.
Those that are sinners are sinners, and he's just being honest about the condition that they're in.
Mine says he will not acquit the wicked.
Yeah.
And mine says he will not at all acquit the wicked.
Jehovah has his way in the tempest and in the storm, and in the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the flower of Lebanon withers. The mountains quake from him, and the hills melt, and the earth is lifted up from before him, even the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his fury? Who can stand up in the heat of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken down because of him. Jehovah is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. But with an overflowing flood he will make an utter end of its place, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What are you plotting against Jehovah? He will make an utter end. Affliction will not rise up the second time.
Mm.
Sin will be done away with.
Forever.
And those enemies that are enemies of God will be done away with forever.
Absolutely.
So this is the warning that the Bible talks about that's probably not very popular in the Christian world today to talk about, because everything's love, love, love.
I know.
You know, but love results in action. If you love God, you're going to change the way you live your life. You're going to change the way you live your life according to the Bible.
Right. You are. You know, I was just thinking about...
Love isn't making sin acceptable, which is what the world does today.
That's absolutely. That's what they do. They have a distorted view of love, Ed. That's the problem.
And love is not telling people that there's going to be a judgment. We need to preach this warning so people are aware, so they can make a choice. Do I love God and keep his commandments, or do I not? The Bible says the only way two can walk together if they're in agreement. Hmm. If you don't agree with God, how are you going to walk with him?
Yeah, you can't. You can't. You know, there's so much that could be said when we look at these texts. You were talking about affliction not rising up a second time. We were talking just a moment ago about sin being isolated here. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God removed them from the garden.
Right.
And in that garden, there was that tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he can't allow us to live forever as sinners. And that was the thing. Adam and Eve had access to that tree, and as long as they did, because they had fallen, they could eat from that tree, the Bible says, and live forever. So if you want eternal life, see, all of this goes back to the things that were taught in in our churches that the Bible does not teach. If you want eternal life, then you're going to have to give up sin.
Yes.
You cannot be a sinner and have eternal life. That was the purpose of isolating Adam and Eve from the tree.
Right.
But there's this common misconception today that people will live forever.
This is the reason God sent his son.
That's it.
So we don't have to be sinners.
It's so clear in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, Ed, verse, if I just, for context, I want to read this because we don't only focus on one verse.
Right.
Did you have a thought?
Start early enough.
Okay. Maybe back in verse 14 where Moses lifted up the serpent?
Yes.
Okay. So, actually, I'm going to back up a little before that. This is a conversation. He's having a conversation with Nicodemus.
Yes.
And what do we know about Nicodemus?
Well, Nicodemus was a religious leader
mm-hmm.
who came at night so he wouldn't be seen because he wanted to have a one-on-one conversation with Jesus to try to understand who he was and what he was preaching. And it's interesting that Jesus tells Nicodemus, you have to be born again.
Yes.
And he talks about being born of water, being born of the Spirit, which is the gospel.
Amen.
You know, being baptized into Christ, dying to sin, and being raised to a new life in him. And he continues this conversation. Most people don't understand that this first half of John 3 is all a conversation with Nicodemus.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicodemus doesn't understand, so Jesus explains it to him. Maybe start in verse 10, Mark.
Okay. So it says in verse 10, Jesus answered. So he's answering Nicodemus because Nicodemus was asking him, how can I be born again?
Right.
And in verse 10, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven.
Jesus is just simply saying here, who has gone up to heaven to learn these heavenly things and come back down here to tell you?
No.
I'm the only one that's come from heaven to tell you about these heavenly things, to tell you about the gospel, the way of salvation.
So Jesus' purpose here is not just to give us salvation, but to give us understanding
yes.
of how we get that salvation. And that's what he's explaining here. So he refers all the way back. Look at what he says here in verse 14. Jesus says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What is this referring to, Ed?
It's talking about the death of Christ on the cross, lifted up. On the cross.
Yes, and there was something that happened in Moses' day with the serpent.
Remember? Yes, because of disobedience to God.
Mm-hmm.
They had serpents that were biting the people and causing them to die.
Right.
And so God told Moses to make a bronze serpent on a stick or a post or something.
Right.
And if all they had to do was to look at this, and they would be healed.
That's right. As long as they kept their eyes on that serpent, they could be bitten and it wouldn't affect them.
Same with us today. We've been bitten by sin, all of us. And we need to look to Jesus to be healed.
Amen. And you can, that account, I believe, is in Numbers chapter 21, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's correct. So if you want to read that account sometime in your personal study, that's a good thing to do. So he talks about, in other words, salvation wasn't from themselves. God provided it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, as long as you keep your eyes on this, you can live.
Yeah, that's what verse 15 basically says.
That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Yes.
Right? And then verse 16, the verse that every Christian knows, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to continue, but I wanted to point out some things. Go ahead.
Yeah, so remember, this is Jesus speaking here.
Right.
He is saying that God, his Father and his God, so loved the world that he gave Christ himself, his only begotten Son,
right,
that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, believing in someone results in action.
Yes, it does.
It results in a change in life. It results in following Jesus Christ.
Sure. And that we see, this is such an amazing verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He had to have a son to give,
yes.
Didn't he? So Jesus was a son before he came here.
And to those who say, well, where is God with all these things happening in the world? How is God love? Read the next verse, verse 17.
Oh, it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
God doesn't desire to condemn the world. He desires that the whole world should be saved. But it's really each one's choice to decide whether or not they're going to believe in Jesus Christ, to follow Jesus Christ,
absolutely,
to be obedient to God.
Yes. And I want to point out, too, in verse 16, if we back up again, that not only is Jesus the Son of God, but it says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Right.
It shows that the opposite of life is eternal death.
Right.
So when I die, I do not continue to live. If I believe what many nominal churches teach, many nominal churches, I'm just going to say it, most of us have been taught as Christians that hell burns forever and ever and people are kept alive. This verse disputes that.
Yeah, the Bible simply says the fire will never be quenched. That means you can't stop the action of God.
It will
complete its work. The Bible talks about walking on the dust of the wicked.
Amen.
On the ashes of the wicked.
On the ashes in Malachi, yeah. In a number of places.
Right.
And so when we see here, we're given everlasting life when we believe in Christ.
Right.
And so if somebody is burning in hell for eternity, that's everlasting life.
Right.
And that's saying, well, Christ isn't telling me the truth.
Right.
But he has to be telling me the truth. He's the Son of God. So let's read that again. I'm going to continue reading through the end of the end of this section. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God.
You know, here's talking about what condemnation is. Those that don't believe Jesus Christ, who is the light that's come into the world to show God's true character, to show the way of God, to show how we should live our lives. You know, part of the problem today is that people change what light is and what darkness is.
You mentioned that right before we started this program this evening.
And I want to go to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20.
Isaiah 5.
And I'm not even sure what version this is, but it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. People today are calling evil good and they're calling good evil.
They are.
And this is going to result in their condemnation because they don't believe the light that God has sent into the world. I want to go next to Luke chapter 11.
Luke 11. Okay.
And just a I'm going to read verses 34 through 36. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is also full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Well, if someone has made evil good and good evil, or light evil and darkness light,
mm-hmm.
this light that is in their body, that is in their eyes, actually darkness.
Yeah, it's confusion.
Yes. It goes on in verse 35, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Be honest about what is right and what is wrong. Not according to the world, but according to the Bible.
Yeah.
And there's, we have like, I don't know, we have three billboards
three.
Up.
Yes, sir.
That say, what is right, what is wrong, and who decides.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a picture of the Bible.
It's not up to us.
No.
God is the one who, he's the one who knows the light from the darkness. In fact, before Adam and Eve ate the fruit of good and evil, they didn't know the contrast. They only knew the light.
Right.
That was all they knew.
Right.
And now darkness has been introduced, and we are dealing with that. But God has given us the light. Are we going to turn it into darkness, as mm-hmm. you just read?
Right.
Or are we going to accept it for the pure light that it truly is,
yes.
Jesus Christ?
Let's go into your sermon a little bit, 2 Peter
okay,
chapter
sure.
3.
Okay, sure. Absolutely.
And it, Mark, if you could read verses 1 through 13. This is really a summary of what we've been talking about for the last number of weeks.
It is. And, I had this sermon developed for this past Sabbath, but I was sick, so I couldn't give it. So here we go. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It says, Beloved, I now write you the second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets.
That's the Old Testament.
Yes, it is.
A lot of people say, well, I'm a New Testament Christian. And they disregard the Old Testament because they don't want to be obedient to God and His commandments.
That's so true.
Peter here is referring people back to the Old Testament, to the holy prophets, and what their message was.
And if we say it often, Ed, what did Jesus always quote?
He only quoted from the Old Testament.
That's it. He preached what the prophets were saying, because what they said all pointed to Him. Everything pointed to Him. So let's read that again, verse 2. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, excuse me, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that had then existed, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
You know, Peter is trying to remind people of these prophecies from the Old Testament. And he's talking about in the last days there's going to be scoffers that are walking according to their own lust, mm-hmm. not walking according to the Spirit, but walking according to the flesh.
Right.
And verse 5 in the modern King James says that, you know, they say these things, where's the promise of his coming? You know, all things continue as it was from the beginning of creation. But this is hidden from them by their willing it. They choose not to study God's word. They choose not to believe the words on the page. Mm. And so it's hidden from them because that's what they want to hear.
Yes. You know, this is what we'd started on several weeks ago. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God.
Yes.
Are we looking for it? Do we want it to come?
Are we ready?
Are we ready for it?
What does he say, verse 11? Then all these things being about to be dissolved, what sort ought you to be in holy behavior and godliness? How should you be living your life?
Right. Yeah, and this, again, this goes along with the warning that you started off this evening with in Revelation chapter 14.
Yes.
Right? Because just think about how many times in the Bible are we warned and told, hey, be ready. Get your affairs in order.
Yes.
You know, get your life intact, so to speak. This world, you know, the devil just bombards us with things that distract us and take us away from God and his Son.
You know, but also what you read in 2 Peter chapter 3 is this promise of a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, the right way of living. People will choose the right way of living.
Amen.
According to God's commandments.
And the thing is, Ed, even in this world, as sinful as it is, we can live this way now because of what Christ is doing for us today. Because of his intercession, because of his mediation, because he can come into our hearts and help us to make those changes. I can't do it myself.
No.
But he can help me to overcome and prepare me for this.
That's just as much a part of the gospel as his death on the cross.
Amen. And, you know, you cited that verse earlier that we are saved by his life.
Yes.
And not just the life that he lived when he was here. Because he lived and never sinned, but he teaches us, he taught us a valuable lesson there, but he also today helps me to get to where I will not sin if I'll let him.
Right.
I have to allow him to do it. But I wanted to just go back to this message that you shared in Revelation 14. It says again, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. This is verse 6, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on earth. So it's not just what Christ has done, what he will do, what he is doing. This gospel it's not just the gospel that saves us now. This gospel is forever.
Yeah.
When it says everlasting gospel, it never gets old. It never ceases.
It's not a Band-Aid. It's a cure.
Amen. That's a great way to put it. It is a cure. And then it says, this everlasting gospel will be preached to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation. Does that exclude the Jewish people?
No.
They need to know Christ.
Right.
They need to know Christ. To every tribe, tongue, and people. No nation is left out. No race is left out. Doesn't matter your skin color, your age, your nationality, whatever your religious affiliation. We need to know Christ.
This gospel is going to be preached to the point where everyone's going to have everyone's going to make an informed decision whether or not they want to be obedient to God or not. Amen. Whether or not they love God and His Son and the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, or not.
And that's why the next verse says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water. So it's so important that we know and understand what we believe, who we believe in,
who we worship,
and know what this God that has provided all of these things for us, what His expectations are.
Yes.
In any relationship, whether it's a father with their child or a spouse, there are expectations in that relationship. My wife expects certain things from me as her husband. I expect certain things of her as my wife. And if we're not meeting those expectations, it's going to cause a fracture in the relationship.
Yes.
It's no different with God. You know, people look and say, well, He's a demanding God. All He's demanding is that you live your life in a way that will allow you to live forever.
And for your benefit now on this earth.
Absolutely. How many times have we talked about it, Ed? Wouldn't the world be a much better place if they just said, okay, let's take 1 week and everybody on the earth keep the commandments of God for 1 week. What do you think things would look like? The police department wouldn't be checking on bank robberies, right? They wouldn't worry about break-ins. They wouldn't be going to homicide scenes. These things wouldn't be happening. The result of sin would still be here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're truly in Christ Jesus, you're not going to commit adultery, you're not going to steal, you're not going to murder, you're not going to lie, you're not going to worship a false god, you're not going to profane God's name, you're not going to profane His Sabbath day. Think about what the world would look like, even in the sinful state that it's in, if people just did the commandments of God.
You know, one thing I think we need to realize, we can only decide for ourselves.
Right.
We cannot decide for someone else. Your preacher cannot save you. Your church cannot save you. Your priest, your rabbi, no one can save you. I want to read a text in Ezekiel chapter 14.
Okay.
I'm going to read verses 13 and 14 of chapter 14 of Ezekiel. It says, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then I will stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, says the Lord God.
Hmm.
Even if these three righteous men were in that land and live in that land, only they would be saved and the rest would be destroyed because they're trespassing against God. They're breaking His commandments. They're worshiping other gods.
Yeah. You know, these three men, when we think of Noah, that was a time of judgment,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes.
And what do we know about that account? There were probably millions of people on the earth.
Well, we just read about it in 2 Peter 3.
We did. And Jesus talks about the days of Noah. He
yes.
says, as the days of Noah were, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. How many people survived that flood according to the Bible record?
Only eight.
Eight out of untold millions of
yeah.
people. Maybe, who knows, maybe a billion or more.
Yeah.
And so what does that tell us? If Jesus is saying that it's going to be like this at the end of time, a lot of people like to say, oh, it's just going to be marvelous. All of these people are going to be saved. According to Jesus' own words, not many are going to make it.
The gate is narrow. The way is narrow. The road is narrow.
Yeah, and cramped. And it says only a few find it.
Yes. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen.
Wow.
God desires that everyone experience salvation. We just read that in 2 Peter.
He wants us all to have it. Friends, the choice is yours. It's a personal choice. And you said it just a moment ago. Because I'm affiliated with Prophecies of Hope, that doesn't mean I'm saved.
No, not at all.
All of my life, I grew up in a church thinking, well, I'm part of the church. This is God's church. I thought that, and that wasn't Prophecies of Hope. But Prophecies of Hope is just a ministry. There's nothing that I can do to save you or you can do to save me.
The only thing I can do is point you to the one that can save you, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Son of God.
And I can't state this enough, particularly growing up the way I did. If any pastor or preacher is pointing you and saying, you have to be here in this church, run. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not about your relationship with Prophecies of Hope Ministries or whatever church you're a part of. It's about your relationship with the Son of God. And this is, what are you doing? Does your walk show that you have a relationship with the Son of God?
Are you allowing Christ to change your life, to change your thoughts, to change your character?
Yeah, that's so important. It's difficult. This isn't easy, Ed.
Oh, no. It's definitely difficult.
It's a minute-by-minute choice.
That's why it's called the narrow way.
It is. We have about 5 minutes, Ed. Is there any way you'd like to take
us? As we're talking about this, the reality of living for God or living against God, there's going to be consequences. And sometimes we don't like to deal with the reality of our characters.
Sure.
And Paul, in 2 Corinthians 13, people were challenging his authority to preach the gospel. And in I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. And he says, since you seek proof of Christ speaking in me, parentheses, who was not weak towards you but powerful in you, for even he was crucified out of weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. Notice what it said. He lives by the power of God, his Father, his God. For indeed, even if we are weak in him, we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. He says this, examine yourself, whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Do you not know your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are reprobates?
Mine says unless you are disqualified.
Yes, because of how we live our lives,
sure.
The choices that we make.
What tells me whether I'm qualified or disqualified? What's the litmus test? Where's the gauge, in other words?
Well, you know, Jesus talks about by their fruit you shall know
them. That's
it.
That's it. Galatians chapter 5 makes it clear. And, you know, we do this often, but I think it's important to read that. So that when we read through this, this is not to make you feel condemned. It's to help you to realize your need for Jesus, right? That's what this is all about.
Just as I need to realize my need.
Amen. I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. So if I read, we only have a couple of minutes here, but Galatians chapter 5, and I'm just going to start in verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So listen to these things and look at your life, and let's see where do I lie in this? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So Paul recognizes he has the same issue me and you have,
yes.
Ed, and that all of us have.
But he recognizes the solution just as well.
Absolutely, and this is where the help comes in. He says, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, meaning you won't come under the penalty of the law. Verse 19 says, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sounds pretty condemning, but it doesn't leave us there.
No.
It continues. So the point is, friends, look at these verses and see if, do I have any of these issues in my life? And then here's how to overcome. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
In Matthew 7:15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Mm. Do men gather grape from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruits, nor can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.
Yes.
Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them.
So, if you haven't made a choice, friends, make a choice.
Yes.
Ask God to help you to walk in the Spirit. That's the thing.
Yes.
And
God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Amen. Amen. And this is all the time we have, but we wanted to leave you on that encouraging note. It may sound like a message of doom and gloom, but it's a message of hope.
Yes.
It really is. And it's doom and gloom if I'm living according to the flesh, but it's hope if I'm living according to the Spirit.
Yes.
So let's have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Father, thank you for the gift of salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. And I just ask a special blessing upon those who are listening, that, Father, they will ask to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Father, we just ask that you will send the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, that we can cry, Abba, Father. Father, we know that you desire all to be saved, and we just ask that you will teach us from your word and help us to remember you each and every moment of the day. Thank you so much for the gift of your Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thank you for putting up with my voice. And friends, thank you for tuning in. And we hope to see you here next week, Sunday, 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.